السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما. نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين والصفوة من أصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. استجيبوا لله وللرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم، صدق الله العلي العظيم. The Holy Quran considers the positive response to the invitation of the Lord and His Apostle, the Prophet, is some sort of resurrection. لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. استجيبوا, respond to Him, respond to your Lord and to His Apostle when they invite you to what is going to resurrect you and gives you life and gives you purpose and gives you energy. Spiritual and moral resurrection. I remember one time a Christian friend asked me that the miracle of Jesus was to resurrect the dead. What is the miracle of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I said, yes, true. The miracle of Jesus is the physical resurrection. He would stand on the grave of a dead and resurrect him or her. Bring them back to physical life. While the miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was more important. It was not just physical, it was moral and spiritual. The Prophet came to a community which was morally bankrupt and dead, and he resurrected them. He gave them direction in this life. He gave them purpose and reason to live. He brought to them life of integrity, life of honor, life that has meaning and it has values. And this is more important. This is the real saving. The real saving, when you save the life of the person, yes, saving him physically is important, but saving him morally is more important. To make him a good citizen. A citizen that he's going to be a source of dignity, a source of pride for his family, for his community, for his country. استجيبوا لله وللرسول. The real purpose of this life is found within the boundaries of faith and religion. The real purpose. It gives real purpose for us to live, to continue, to struggle, to work harder to try to overcome the challenges and the difficulties. The Prophet came to that community and he taught them how to live together in harmony, in love, in appreciation for one another. At his time, during his era, before he started his mission, two brothers could not stand each other. Two families could not stand each other. Two neighbors could not stand each other. They did not respect each other. Two brothers. The Prophet turned them into Ummah, one nation, one community. He taught them how to relate to each other based on reason, on logic. Ar-Rahmanu 'allama al-Qur'ana khalaqa al-insana 'allamahu al-bayan. Khalaqa al-insan, he created man and he inspired him with logic, with reason. 'Allamahu al-bayan. How to deal with each other based on reason. And of course, not all people responded. Because for the success to take a place and to happen, we need the three elements. We need Ar-Rasul, Ar-Risala, and we need Al-Mursal Ilayhim. Three of them have to work together. Ar-Rasul was, Ar-Risala was perfect. The message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his teachings, his book, the revelation that he brought, they are perfect. The messenger himself was perfect too. He did not have any shortcomings. He did not have any deficiencies. He did not preach what he did not practice. لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. He preached what he practiced. He was an honest leader, honest messenger. However, when we come to the third element, which is the invitees, many of them, they responded, they accepted, and others, they rejected. And this is part of the sunnah of this life, the tradition of this life, the style of this life. Allah says, with all followers of messengers, all messengers, فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ آمَنْ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَفَرْ. Some of them responded with open-mindedness, with love, with acceptance, with submission, because they knew this is a good invitation. They're going to benefit. Other, however, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَفَرْ, they rejected. And this rejection has reasons. Why did they reject? What was bad with this message? Nothing was bad. But they rejected because, not because the message was bad, they were bad. And one of the reasons they were bad, the non-believers and the munafiqeen, some of them, they were polytheists, non-believers, or disbelievers. Others, they said we believed, but they didn't believe really. They didn't really believe. The hypocrites. What was the reason? One reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it was the ta'assub. It was the prejudice they had, the bigotry, the bias they had, which does exist in all societies. Not just in Arabia, not just in pagan Meccans, but it does exist in every single society. This is a disease. This is a mental disease and social disease. Bigotry. To see himself better than others. To see himself the only person, the only family, the only race, the only group who deserve to live. Others, they don't deserve to live. This is found in every society. This is found with some Republican contenders today. When you listen to them, they are bigots. Bigots who run for the White House. So bigotry, not necessarily someone who comes from an idolatry community, community that worship idols. Sometimes he says, I'm an evangelical Christian, I'm Muslim, I'm Catholic. But then they have في قلوبهم, Allah says في قلوبهم مرض. They have sickness, bigotry, racism. Someone sees his blood to be better than other people's blood. Someone sees his family to be other than people's families. Someone sees his village, his town, better than other villages and other towns. And someone sees his doctrine and his school of thought much better than others, and he's the only survivor. And God created paradise only for him and his group, exclusively for them. This is ta'assub. So they rejected the Prophet based on ta'assub. Not because this book was wrong, because they were wrong. في قلوبهم مرض فزادهم الله مرضا ولهم عذاب أليم. Sometimes it's not bigotry, it's jahl. Jahl. Not all the brains, my friends, are equal. Not all IQs are equal. Some people, Allah says, this is their level. This is their level. They cannot go up. Don't waste your time. And God is going to judge them on the day of judgment according to that level, not to the higher level. The more you know, the difficult becomes your judgment on that day. Because Allah says, I gave you bigger brain. And with bigger brain comes bigger responsibility and bigger accountability. You are not like someone who does not know, or ignorant, or unaware. Person who is aware of the consequences would pay a bigger price if he or she insists on wrongdoing. So this is another. Sometimes it is hasad. Many of the people of the book, they knew in their books, Allah says, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They know Muhammad very well as they know their own children. يَعْرِفُونَ. Some of the Christian monks, Jewish rabbis at his time, the time of the Prophet, because they found his character, his description in their own books. They read it. But because he's not from their race, because he's not from their tribe, remember. Some people in Quraysh is the major tribe of Mecca. But this major tribe has 20 sub-tribes, 20 divisions. One of them was Bani Hashim. Do you know that some people within Quraysh, they rejected Muhammad because he comes from Bani Hashim, not from their own branches. He was Arab just like them, from the same neighborhood, from the same street, but not from the same family branch, from the same family tribe, Quraysh, but not from the same branch. They rejected him. They rejected him. The second caliph said to Abdullah ibn Abbas one day, he said to him, لَقَدْ كَرِهَتْ قُرَيْشِ أَن تَجْتَمِعَ النُّبُوَّةِ وَالْخِلَافَ فِي بَنِي هَاشِمْ. The reason why we kicked Ali out, we did not accept him as Khalifa after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because some of these other branches of Quraysh, same tribe, but other branches, they found it very hard to accept that the Prophet and the Imam and the Caliph from the same branch, Bani Hashim. We could not take it anymore. We could not take it anymore. Karihat Quraysh. And Ibn Abbas said to him a very beautiful example from this book. He said to him immediately, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَرِهُ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُهُمْ. People who reject what God has descended on us, then they're going to lose and burn out. أَحْبَطَ burn out. Burn out their good deeds. When you reject outright, reject what God has chosen for you, and you tell him, God, you don't have the right to choose for me. I will choose. So sometimes it's hasad, envy, that does not let people accept the truth. Hasad. I mentioned last night here, we need to work on the heart, cleansing the heart. Cleansing the heart. The closer we get to Allah, the more we become capable of cleansing the heart from these mental, social diseases. From arrogance, insolence, envy, and others, and rancor, we can clean the heart. This book, فيه شفاء للناس. Allah says in this book, if you read this book and believe in this book, believe while you are reading it, you know that God is talking to you. This is His genuine statement. And you embrace it and you follow it, it's going to cleanse your heart. This is medicine. Medicine for the heart. This is medicine for the heart. Allah says this book is medicine for those who like the medicine. Sometimes people do not like the medicine. They go to the doctor, but they teach the doctor. They don't wait for the doctor to tell them. They teach the doctor what to do for them. Then you are, why do you go to the doctor? This book is a medicine for those who accept it and submit to it. But if people reject the book, it's not going to be a medicine for them. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على محمد وآل محمد كما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وصل اللهم وسلم على خلفاء نبيك وأوصيائه وأهل بيته وأحبته علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سقي نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهم السلام وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي أجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه عباد الله أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه أولئك الذين هداهم الله وأولئك هم أولو الألباب صدق الله العلي العظيم دين الإسلام يقوم على دعامتين. The Islamic faith has been established on two important pillars and foundations. كلمة التوحيد وتوحيد الكلمة. كلمة التوحيد is the monotheism. لا إله إلا الله. That's the main foundation of our religion. 99% of Islam is La ilaha illallah. 99%. Monotheism. وتوحيد الكلمة. The second component and the second foundation is the unity. توحيد الكلمة. The togetherness. standing together, being together, working together despite the differences. Even if our ideology and our doctrine is correct and accurate, but that is not enough for our progress. That has to be accompanied by good behavior. That has to be accompanied by unity, by harmony, by togetherness, by appreciation for one another, respect for one another, tolerance for one another, tolerance. We cannot show Islam to the world and tell them, listen, Islam is beautiful. Look at the doctrine of Islam. Look at the Holy Quran. Look at the tradition of the Prophet. While Muslims are divided, while Muslims, they hate each other, while Muslims in the Middle East and elsewhere are killing each other, and they all kill each other, not in the name of Karl Marx, in the name of La ilaha illallah. Both the groups, all the groups, they say, we are the better Muslims, we are the genuine Muslims, and others are non-Muslims. We can't convince anyone that Islam is good, only by ideology. It does not work. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam could not convince Quraysh and others in Arabia and elsewhere just by this book. He was able to attract them by this book and his manners too, and his akhlaq. This is why the first thing he did when he moved to Medina, al-mu'akhat, to bring people together, to try to cleanse their hearts from these grudges, animosities, create a brotherhood, create sisterhood, genuine brotherhood and sisterhood. And he struggled a lot. Religion has zahir, exterior and interior, and both of them are important. Our interior is this, the doctrine is immaculate. But we have a problem with the exterior today. We have a problem with relationships among the Muslims. They have to fix relationships. And we have to understand, my friends, that we are different and we must be different too. We are not one. Unity does not mean uniformity, that you believe in one type of food, one type of weather, one type of this and one type of that. No. Unity means that despite your diversity, and Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Nuh, وَقَدْ خَلَقَكُمْ أَطْوَارًا. Nuh says to his community that God created you diversified. Diversified. Not just in color, not just in shape. Diversified in your doctrines, in your understanding, in your tendencies, in your flavors. You are diversified, but yet you can work together. You can work together, despite. Today, in one family, in one single family, we find different tendencies. In one family, from one father and one mother. Among the members of this one family, there are some people who favor this tendency, this political, economic, social, religious, moral tendencies, and others, they incline into another direction. It's okay that they have to understand each other. They have to tolerate. Allah says, just tolerate. Respect each other and tolerate. Do not judge people. Do not be the judge. Allah does not want anyone to speak on his behalf. We are not the spokesperson of God. We are not. No one is the spokesperson of God. We cannot judge. We have to tolerate. We have to appreciate. And we accept even if we disagree. Something that we have to accept. We have to accept that. We have to agree that we sometimes must disagree. But this disagreement should not be the cause of division and intolerance and takfir and rejection. It's not. I always said, and God is my witness, since we started this masjid when we were a very small community, I said, the gates, the doors of this masjid are open to all. Whether they agree with me or they disagree, whether they love me or hate me, this is not a private property. One day I am here and you are here. One day we're going to move out. Others would come here. Move out, you know where? Final destination, inshallah. We can't escape that final destination. But the place remains the house of God. House of God. This is a lesson we learn from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is the most despicable entity in this universe? Shaytan, Iblis. Nobody is worse than Shaytan and Iblis. Iblis said to God, I have some point to raise. I want to argue with you. Allah never said to him, shut your mouth, you can't argue with me. Who are you to argue with me? He said, okay, argue. Tell me. When Allah said to the angels that, I want to create Adam. Iblis, he had the right to object. And Allah listened to him. Although he disagreed with him, but he listened to him. Today we have a problem that some people, they don't want to listen. They don't want to listen to others. And this is not right. This is not healthy. Not healthy for them, not healthy for their communities, and above all, not healthy for their religion, the image of their religion. Amarani, I conclude with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Amarani Rabbi. أمرني ربي, my Lord has commanded me, أمرني ربي بمدارات الناس كما أمرني بالفرائض. The same way, with the same strength and seriousness, where he asked me to establish the fara'id, prayers, fasting, hajj, zakat, others, he also with the same seriousness, he asked me to take care of people and tolerate people. To accept them, to take care of them, to listen to them, to be humble, to be patient with them. That is the key for success. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most successful even among the Anbiya. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never ran away one day from his community. Many of Anbiya, they fled their community. وَذَنُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبْ Jonah, Yunus. وَذَنُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا He fled his community. In anger, frustration, he gave up on them. ذهب مغاضبا فظن أن لن نقدر عليه فنادى في الظلمات أن لا إله إلا But the Prophet stood his ground. He was the most tolerant. We should learn this lesson beginning in the family. If we become tolerant with members of our families first, with our siblings, our children, our parents, then we can exercise that outside the family. Before I conclude tonight, there is youth session here at 8, and I will be speaking, inshallah, in the youth session. So invite the young generation, young professionals, people who are 50 and under, you know, to attend. And also we have a trip. Many people ask me, do we go for ziyarah? Yes, we have organized a trip for the beginning of April, inshallah. 1 week in Iraq and 1 week in Iran for the ziyarah of the Atabat. And if Allah keeps me alive, I will accompany you, inshallah, and serve you. So if you want, please look at the flyer outside and contact the number. And lastly, we give our condolences to Sister Khanum Akram Kauthari, Sayyida Akram Kauthari, when we established the masjid in 1996, 20 years ago. She was in the board of directors. She helped us. She served us and served the community. And as some of you may know, she lost her only son last week at the age of 41, Behzad Naqshina. May Allah bless his soul and forgive him. And she's with us tonight. So after the Salatul Jumu'ah, if you can, inshallah, give condolences to her, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allahumma aghfir lil mu'minin wal mu'minat wal muslimin wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat tabi' allahumma baynana wa baynahum bil khayrat إنك مجيب الدعوات، إنك غافر الخطيئات، إنك ماحي السيئات وجاعلها حسنات، إنك على كل شيء قدير. وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.